Oikos presents 15 Seconds of Strength.
Here we go. Steve's got a trunk full of groceries and no one to help him.
Oh, that's tough, Jim. Looks like a 5-trip load at least.
He grabs the first bag, the second. Bob, it looks like he's trying to do it all one trip. He shimmies the door open, steps over the dog. Oh, and he stumbles.
Oh, right into the kitchen without missing a beat. Mm. Jim, now that's a man who eats his protein-packed Oikos.
With 15 grams of complete protein in each cup, Oikos Triple Zero can help build strength for every day. Oikos, stronger makes everything better.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Steph.
I'm Alex.
And this is Not Today.
And we're live.
Hello.
How are you? What's up?
I'm okay. Aside from the fact that I have COVID.
Yeah,
as do you.
It's a downside to life.
Yeah. Happy 2024.
And yes, COVID. New Year, sick us. Yeah. We're pushing through. It's really not as bad as it was last time, at least for me.
I feel like for me, it's worse than it was the first time I got it. Because the first time I had it, I was basically symptom free.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I was like, you were asymptomatic. I was so mad at you.
Sorry.
But I mean, it's not ideal, but here we are. In any case, your sister's wedding that we attended was fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Went off without a hitch.
No hitches at that wedding.
It was very fun. We danced all night long. Everyone was very impressed with Alex's dance moves.
Yep.
I mean,
I was essentially doing like a CrossFit workout. That's what it felt like.
We were definitely in pain the next day, not even just because we were drinking a lot, but just because like it was kind of a workout that we did.
I was giving it so much effort that I couldn't drink more. Like my body was like, we are in like fight or flight. We can't take in liquid.
Well, hey, you did it right.
I guess so.
In any case, we are now suffering a little bit with COVID, which means that this week I'm going to be telling you stories from Reddit Let's Not Meet.
Which is a new concept for us, but...
Yeah, it's something I've been wanting to do for a while because I've heard Let's Not Meet stories before. And also I just love listening to people talk about like Reddit stories like this. So I definitely have been looking forward to doing something like this. And also it worked out because I couldn't research a full story this week because my brain is working at about 50%.
Yeah, it's taken a vacation.
Yeah. But even still, I have some really great stories for you this week, and I'm excited to talk about them.
Well, let's talk about
them. Wait, before we talk about it, should I let people know what Reddit Let's Not Meet is? Probably.
Let's do that.
Yeah, so...
I don't.
You don't know what it is?
I mean, I assume that it's a Reddit thread where people talk about crazy shit that happened to them, but I don't know what the specific subreddit is about.
Yeah, so Let's Not Meet is a subreddit where people post true stories that they have experienced, whether it's like a creepy encounter with somebody or something like that. It's basically just like, hey, I had this really terrifying experience and let's not meet again. Like, let's never do this again kind of thing.
Fair enough.
But yeah, they're true stories. Because I know some subreddits are like fictional, but this isn't one of those.
I see. Okay. Yeah.
So let's talk about it. This first one was posted 5 years ago. So last night, I was at a classmate's house working on a group project we have due tomorrow. I live in an apartment in the town where our university is located, and my classmate lives at his parents' house, which is in the foothills just outside of town. In order to get to the house, you have to drive along a relatively secluded and narrow two-lane road for about 5 to 6 miles. We started working on the project at about 6 p.m., and I ended up hanging around for a while after we had finished our working, so I left his house pretty late at about 11, and started down the road back towards town. I didn't realize how tough it would be to navigate the road at night. There was no street lights and the road was unkempt and riddled with potholes. On top of this, I had no cell service, so I had to drive very slowly to make sure I didn't blow out one of my tires, since I had used my spare a couple of weeks back.
Oh no.
I figure I was about 3 miles from the house when I rounded a tight corner and saw a pickup truck with a camper shell parked diagonally across the road. The manner in which it was parked completely impeded my path, and I couldn't drive around it because there was a gully on both sides of the road. The only way for me to go at this point was backwards, where there was a pull-off that I could use to turn my car around. At first, I couldn't see inside the cab, but when I turned on my high beams, I saw that there was a man slouched over in the driver's seat, his head resting against the steering wheel as if he had been knocked out after a bad accident. I immediately sensed something was wrong. The way his car had just coincidentally come to rest in a position that totally blocked the road was a big red flag for me. I heard stories of people playing dead in the road as a way to lure unsuspecting people out of their cars so they could rob them. I decided, quote-unquote, fuck this shit, and elected to go back to my classmate's house and explain what was going on. I threw the car into reverse and kept my eyes darting back and forth between my rear view and the truck. I looked and saw that I was almost to the pull-off where I could turn around. When I looked back, my heart skipped about 5 beats. The man who had been slouched over in the driver's seat was now walking at my car at a hurried pace, while a few other men jumped out of the camper shell and started moving toward me as well.
Oh my god, 3 people? 4 people?
Yeah.
Dude, this is terrifying.
Yep, in a very secluded dark road.
Yeah, no.
I panicked and accelerated backwards into the pull-off, which messed up the undercarriage of my car pretty bad. As I put it into drive, the guy was already at my passenger side door, tugging on my handle, which, thank the Lord, was locked. I only caught a brief glimpse of him, but his face appeared to be scabby and leathery, definitely a meth head or some sort of drug abuser. I sped away and didn't slow down at all until I reached the house, constantly checking my rear view to see if they were following. Thankfully, they didn't tail me, and when I reached the house, I explained what had happened to my classmate, and we called the cops. I was grateful that my buddy's parents were kind enough to let me stay the night. They didn't find anyone on the road matching the description, but I filed an incident report, and they told me they would be on the lookout for similar vehicles and suspicious activity. But holy shit, I'm still so shaken up over it. I keep getting the same adrenaline rush I got when I saw the guy charging me whenever I think about it.
Yeah, I can't imagine. This person had the complete correct instinct, though.
Absolutely.
And just got the fuck out of there. But this is such a weird thing. They just play dead in the middle of the road?
I wonder if the guy was trying to slouch over as if he could, like, so he couldn't be seen.
Maybe
they were trying to make it look like he had crashed. Because then that would make someone more likely to come over and, like, see if he's okay or, like, get out of the car, you know?
But, I mean, at night, I just call the cops.
Yeah, but even still, like, if you're sitting in your car and you're just, like, calling the cops, then these, you know, if you're not looking and they just rush your vehicle, that's terrifying. Yeah, terrifying. It's obvious that it was just they were trying to rob this guy or God only knows what, but yeah, it's scary.
Yeah, I can't believe he got close enough to even try to open the door.
Yeah, the guy was, like, jiggling his door handle, so clearly he was able
to get in.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Clearly he was able to function.
Yes, he was definitely not hurt.
Yeah.
They were trying to rob him. But I wonder how many people they have successfully done that to, you know? Clearly that was a pretty well-oiled,
like, coordinated
machine. Yeah, the guys in the back and the guy slouched in the front, they're completely blocking the road. That's
pretty smart,
honestly.
Yeah, you're right. But I mean, it's got to be scary enough to see one guy coming out, but then to see, like, a squadron
come out
of the camper.
I feel like I would immediately poop my pants.
Yeah.
Like, that'd be poop on sight, you know?
And then some more.
Yeah. Anyway, that's story number one.
Let's not meet again.
Should we?
Amen.
Let's not ever meet again.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
All right, on to number two. This one is really also quite spooky.
Okay.
This one was posted 8 days ago.
Oh, God.
The user is Fred Balky, I believe is how it's pronounced. And yeah, like I said, it was posted 8 days ago. So that just adds to the spook for me, at least. Hey, y'all. This took place the summer of 2022, and I just never thought of writing down the story because I was so stunned that it happened to me. So every summer in my city, me and my friends like to make small campfires in chill, secluded areas because we don't want to drive an hour to an actual campsite and pay any campsite fee to do so. These also happen pretty spontaneously, so it's a nice last-minute hang to do. There's this one spot near my house that's located by a river that's really nice because no one usually goes there. The only thing to be worried about are bears, though, because living in the Pacific Northwest is challenging like that, and my house specifically is located right next to mountains and forest. So one particular night, at 11 p.m, I decided to go ahead of my friends and meet them at the spot and set things up early because I want us to be chilling once they all get there. The spot I get to has a 2-minute paved walkway I have to go through, and then I have to take a small trail ramping down the right side of the bridge that crosses over a river. Along this paved walkway are two lamps located at halfway and another at the start of the bridge slash ramp down to the campfire spot. I park my car at the beginning of the trail on the street and bring my campfire stuff like flashlight, lighter, small firewood, small shovel to dig out the pit, etc. And I get to the spot, and it's a really small sandy beach kind of embankment on the side of the river with a small waiting area for toddlers with their families during the hot summers. So I set up a chair, and I get to digging the pit with only my flashlight illuminating where I'm digging. I'm just shoveling the sand right next to me, nowhere near the water, but all of a sudden I hear a loud splash. A splash so loud that it can only come from something equally large like a two-hand-sized rock. I'm confused because I swear I'm not throwing sand into the water even though I'm only a few feet away. I shine my flashlight at the water and I don't see anything, so I kind of just brush it off, thinking I'm hearing things. But as I keep shoveling a bit more, I hear another loud splash. At this point, I think something is falling from above because logically, something must be falling into the water. I point the flashlight above where some trees are above the river, and I don't see anything big enough to make a splash. So as I keep digging, with my heart rate kind of going at this point, I hear a rustling past the arch of where the bridge goes over the river. I quickly grab my light and shine it towards where I hear the rustling. I call out, "Hello?" No response. In my head, if it were a bear, I should be getting out of there immediately, but there was no bear. Or no signs of anything, for that matter. So I tell myself I'm just hearing things now, because I've seen horror movies before, and now my mind is playing tricks on me. But I hear the noise again, and it clearly sounds like leaves being rustled, so I shine my flashlight over to the area again, and as I focus my eyes toward the illuminated area, I see the naked back of a man hunched over. I was kind of frozen in anxiety and stress because, honestly, of all the things I was to see, I didn't think I'd be seeing the naked back of a man. Alex is raising his hand.
Yeah, is he alone?
Yes.
Oh my fucking God.
Yeah.
You see the naked back of a man, but not looking at you?
No.
Okay, I guess this is better than...
It's not.
Full frontal?
No, it's not.
Why?
Just keep listening.
Okay.
From the quick analysis my brain could muster up, he looked to be mid-40s, shaved, not bald, and medium-ish build, like a mix between chubby and built. As I had my flashlight staying on his back, he started to stand up, and the first thing I noticed was that he wasn't wearing any pants either. My next reflex was to start packing up all my crap and getting the hell out of there, because now I'm piecing in my head that he must have been throwing things into the water to scare or shoo me away. So after using my reflexive deductive skills, I proceeded to speed walk out of there with all of my stuff. I'm carrying all my things with me and briskly walking up the small ramp, and I'm on the paved path now out of the forest. I can feel my heart beating in my chest, and I'm frequently looking back to make sure I'm not being followed. I'm in Crocs, mind you, so I'm hoping that if I have to book it out of there, I'd regret not being in sport mode from the get-go.
Sport mode.
I love when people say Crocs are in sport mode with the strap on the back.
Oh, God. I mean, I just go barefoot at that point.
Yeah.
So he had enough time to pack up his things. This guy just like wasn't looking at him.
He only had like two or three things. He had like firewood and a lighter and a flashlight.
But this guy isn't like, he's just keeping to himself. Did he like disappear into the night?
He hears the sounds. He points his flashlight around and then sees a man hunched over. He can't even tell that he's fully naked yet. And as he's pointing the flashlight at him, he starts to stand up and he sees that this man is naked. So clearly this man is reacting to having a flashlight on him or something. Mm-hmm. And he's standing up. So this guy just immediately grabs his things and starts walking out of there. He's not really looking back at this point, it seems.
Yeah.
So anyway, why don't I keep going? I make it to the halfway point and a sense of relief starts setting in, knowing I made it out safely of this very scary situation. But as I check behind me for the final time, I see something. Slowly, creeping over the ramp, is the naked man crawling on all fours as if he were a primate walking. His head was positioned toward me, looking at me as he made his way to the middle of the paved walkway. He slowly gets up from his stance and starts standing on his feet and positions his body to face me. After setting himself into his new position, this man starts running toward me. I freaking book it. I run as hard as I can down the path. My flashlight jumped out of my pocket and I lost it, but I didn't care because a whole naked ass man was chasing me at 11 p.m. at night in a secluded forest. I looked back for a split second and the man was still running toward me, still completely naked. He could have my flashlight for all I care. I wanted to make it out of this situation alive. I finally make it out of the forest and I run to my car, which is only 30 feet from the end of the forest. I desperately get to my car, and like a classic horror movie, I fumble with trying to get my key fob to unlock my car. I actually drop my keys and quickly think to myself, I'm actually dead. But I brush the thought off and pick them back up. I get my fob properly, unlock the doors, and throw my things into the back seat before getting into my car. This felt like an eternity, but in hindsight, it most likely took 6 seconds altogether. As I try to guide my key into the ignition, I am fixated on the end of the paved path that I was just at a few seconds ago, waiting to see if the naked man was still coming. I feel my key go into the ignition, and I switch my sights onto the road in front of me, and I zoom out of the area as fast as possible. As I drive away, I'm a good 30 seconds from the location of the horror that just took place. I get a call on my phone. It was my friends calling me, asking if I made it to the spot yet, and all I say to them is, "Guys, do I have a crazy story to tell you?" They pull up to my house because, again, it was actually decently close to the campfire area, and I tell them the whole story the way that I just told it now. They swear that it was none of them trying to prank me or anything like that, and I also knew none of them would try to full sprint at me with their dong out. But as we're talking it out in front of my house, there is a college student who looks like he's walking home that's going toward the direction of where I encountered the naked man. I yelled out to him, "Yo, be careful, there's a naked guy that was chasing me by the bridge that crosses over the river." He responds saying, "Oh damn, really? I gotta go over that bridge to get home." And all I tell him is, "Good luck, man." Jesus. The next day I reported it to the police by phone, but they sent over an officer so I could tell them in person and show them where in the area I saw these things. When we went back to see where I initially saw the man's back hunched over, they said they didn't see any trace of anyone being out there previously. but the officer said they would make note of it anyway in case it happens again. Some friends say it's a skinwalker. Others say, more realistically, it's either a homeless, mentally ill, or drunk-slash-high person. One theory I've heard my friends say is that it's a future version of me pulling a prank on my past version of me, because honestly, if time travel is real, I would totally screw with my younger self like that. So this is the only crazy Let's Not Meet story I have, but damn, is it a story I will never forget.
Yeah. I want to know who it was.
I don't.
You don't want to know, like, what was going on?
Well, I guess, yeah. I guess I would want to know what was...
What do you mean, no?
I just mean that, like, if I were in that situation, I would not want to know who that man was.
I would absolutely. Like, I just want to know why a person would find themselves in the middle of the woods, naked, crunched over, and then chasing a person.
I feel like there are crazier things that happen.
Yes, but even then, I want to know how somebody gets there. Like, how do you, like, you go from, you know, being in grade school or something, deciding what you want to be when you grow up, and 15 years later, you're in the woods.
Yeah, how
naked.
Do you go from, like, eating eggs one morning to then, like, another night being naked in the woods at 11 p.m.?
Yeah, I mean, how did they get there?
Also, I totally didn't mean for this to happen, but the first story and this story both happened at 11 p.m. and had to do with a man being hunched over.
Well,
whoops.
Nothing really good happens after, what, 10?
I don't know. I think it's like past midnight is the saying, I think. But yeah. But still, after at dark?
Night. Yeah.
And in the middle of nowhere? Yeah, that's the theme, is in the dark, in the middle of nowhere.
Don't be there.
Yeah, don't be there by yourself, at least.
Yeah, this is nuts. I would never have gone in the woods by myself to set anything up.
I guess he was just thinking, like, the scariest thing that could be out there is a bear, which is already quite scary.
You know what? I'm more scared of the bear than this guy.
Oh, God.
To be honest, I think
I'm equally scared.
I mean, the bear is larger. Like, if you see a bear like this and they want to kill you, you're not running away from them. You can't run faster than a bear.
No, that's true. I would be terrified to see a bear out there, of course, but also I would be terrified to see a naked man hunched over and then running at me.
Yeah, but I just feel like as men go, I could probably outrun a good majority of them.
Sure. I don't feel that way, though. I am not a
runner.
There's
a chance you could outrun. There's a chance you could outrun some of them.
Yeah,
you know
maybe.
What I mean?
Maybe I could turn into
a good head start.
She's a runner and a track star.
You are.
She's a runner. She's a track star.
I don't know what that is.
It's a TikTok sound. I don't know.
How would I know? But yeah, I don't know. I'm dumbfounded how somebody gets there, and it'll just be forever be a mystery what that was.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that they didn't end up going camping.
Probably not that night, but that was an area that they frequented because it was like right by their house. Clearly, yeah. That kid who was walking by was just about to go over that bridge, and he was like, hey, just heads up, there's a naked guy over there who's kind of crazy. Like,
and he goes, damn.
Yeah, damn, I have to walk over that bridge. And he's like, all right, well, good luck. Not like, let me give you a ride.
Yeah.
It's like, good luck.
Well,
I wouldn't want to go back over there.
Yeah, fair enough. But the whole time I was thinking about this, if you're in bear country and you go out there with firewood and a shovel, like, are you not concerned about bears? Like, you don't have any of the, like, bear mace or whatever those, like, exploding things are to scare them off?
I don't know. I think a fire typically would keep it away, right? Like, I mean, if you're cooking food or, like, roasting marshmallows, then that's a different story. But, like, I don't think that bears typically want to come up on a campsite. I think. I could be wrong. Don't take this as fact, because I don't want to be responsible for someone getting mauled by a bear.
Yeah. Generally, I'm like, maybe have a backup.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. If you're going to go out into the wilderness knowing that there are bears around, you should have a backup plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Instead of just going, hey, bear.
Yeah.
Hey, bear. Anyway, let's move on to another story, shall we? This next one was posted 4 years ago by the user Ligamentary. I was watching my daughter's kids while she and her husband go out of town. They have a teenage daughter, let's say her name is Alyssa. At like 3 a.m., I'm woken up by a weird rustling sound and look out the window and see movement. I saw a boy emerge from the bushes on the side of the house. I saw a bike tossed on the lawn that definitely wasn't ours. My first thought was that it was a burglar casing houses, but since he looked young and came through on a bike, I figured scaring him straight would be enough for him to decide to head home. Didn't want to ruin a teenager's life by calling the cops straight away. So I went out on the porch, flipped on the lights, and said, "Can I help you?" in my classroom voice. The guy looked surprised, but not nervous. He was wearing a Letterman-style jacket, but once I got a clear view of him in the streetlights, he seemed much older than my granddaughter. Gruff, and more wiry than athletic. He walked up closer to the house and said, "Yeah, I'm looking for Alyssa." I gave him a disapproving glare, hoping he'd realize he came looking for a girl late at night, and a grumpy old person answered, "It's time to split." I'm thinking what must have happened is Alyssa knew her parents were going out of town, and maybe before she knew I'd be staying over, told a secret older boyfriend to come over. It was late, and I was alone with several kids, so I didn't want him coming any closer to the house. I also thought it was weird he came so late, and wanted to be sure Alyssa actually wanted to talk to him. So I said, "I'm sorry, who?" And he said, "Alyssa, you know, Alyssa, last name. This is her house." I thought he knew her full name. They must be at least friends. I said, "You wait there." He started to walk up, and I felt a sick burning in my gut. Instinct kicked in. I yelled, "No, stop, freeze," and then readjusted and said, "You stay right there. This is private property. Don't take a step closer. Wait there." So I go in, and Alyssa is asleep just one room over from where the rustling first occurred, and I wake her up and say something to the effect of, "I don't know what the big idea was to have your friends over this time of night, but you tell them to go home." She has no clue what I'm talking about. I say, "There's a guy outside asking for you." Confused, she gets up and goes to the window, sees him, and goes white as a sheet. She said, "He asked for me?" "Yeah." "By name?" "Yes." "Call the police. I've never seen him in my life."
Oh my God.
I called 911 immediately. But as I was on the phone with them, Alyssa started tugging at my arm. "He's coming up." I had younger kids in the house to think about, so I kept the door latched and pulled it just open enough for the latch and yelled, "I asked my husband and none of us know an Alyssa last name. Leave my property or I'm calling 911. He got angry and started yelling for her to come out. Thankfully, the police came pretty quickly, and when he heard the sirens, he grabbed the bike and ran off. I watched where he was running, and he jumped into the passenger side of a car without headlights or front plates and sped off. The police followed in the same direction once I pointed them out, but they didn't get him. They advised us to take all her social media details offline if she was sure she didn't know this person, and said they'd had a couple similar reports recently and were looking into it. I got a heavy-duty lock, and she slept in my room for the remainder of my visit.
Dude, that's terrifying.
Yeah.
This is Grandma?
It seems, yeah.
Dude. Yeah, the ball's on Grandma to go out and be user teacher voice.
Yeah, right? That's terrifying. That this,
yeah.
This like older but also kind of younger guy is like out there with a bike and a Letterman jacket. Like, that's pretty off-putting.
Just at to, like, 3 a.m.
Well, yes, at 3 a.m, and that's definitely a red flag. But also, like, think about the like thought process behind those decisions. I mean, because clearly he had a car. He had a getaway driver and a car with no license plates. But he came up to the house close, right next to her window, 1, 2, on a bike, and 3, wearing a Letterman jacket. 2 of those things are very innocent.
Yeah.
And so if a parent or a grandparent does come out of the house and say, "Hey, who are you? What are you doing?"
They know the last name.
It just looks like a young kid who's coming to, like, you know, canoodle with his girlfriend late at night when the parents aren't home. It doesn't look like someone who's like literally coming to kidnap this girl.
Yeah, it makes your gut twist.
Yeah. And the fact that she looked out the window and she goes, "I don't know that person, call the police."
Yeah. Like, turns white as a sheet.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I mean, this is the type of shit that just makes you want to get a gun, you know? And the fact that he had a car ready to go.
With no plates and no headlights on.
Yeah, it was planned by 2 people.
Yeah, and he got in the passenger side, so he wasn't driving.
That's what I mean, like, 2 people.
Right. And the fact that the cops were like, "Yeah, we've gotten similar reports in the area."
Yeah, they're trying to do it to somebody else. It's terrifying. Yeah, I think the moral of the story is don't go outside at 3 a.m.
Yeah,
for anyone.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Unless you have
like a shotgun.
All the creepies come out past 11.
Yeah. Well, they, you know, they're
around
exist
any
at all
time.
Times of day.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah.
but they're extra creepy at that hour, apparently.
Yeah.
God, yeah, I have another creepy one like that too, so.
I thought this was going to go paranormal, though, when you said 3 a.m. I was like, oh, it's the witching hour.
No, we've got Let's Not Meet, not like the ghosty the stuff.
I don't know if they commingled.
Maybe sometimes. Let's Not
Meet the Ghost again? I don't know.
I guess the last one referenced skinwalkers, which could be paranormal-ish, but like, no, these are all just scary people, which is even scarier than the paranormal stuff, I think.
Yeah.
Also, the fact that this person was, like, coming up to the house after she already was, like, call 911.
Yeah.
Like, the girl...
Did she open the door?
Who? The grandmother?
Yeah. But kept it latched?
Yeah. I think she, like, latched it and opened it just enough to be like, I'm calling the police. But then he didn't leave until he heard the sirens.
And he got angry.
Yeah. The balls.
Yeah, the balls.
Because, I mean, you have to just be confident, I guess, if you're going to go into that sort of thing. Because he came up there, like, saying... I'm looking for Alyssa, specific last name, you know, with a bike and a, I don't know. The bike and the Letterman jacket are really getting me. Like, that's giving like, oh, I'm just a football player. Don't mind me.
Yeah.
That's spooky. All right. We can move on.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, this next one is also another creepy person at night, which is a theme I'm sensing.
I feel bad for whoever's listening to this at night.
By themselves.
Like on their drive home.
Yeah.
They're like, oh God, I see a camper right now.
Oh God, no, I'm sorry about that. Yeah, this one was posted 1 month ago by InternetRat1, which
is a great username.
Is a relatable username. I also identify as an internet rat. All right. So I have contemplated telling this forever because it sounds so not real, but I love this sub so much, so I've decided to share it here. When I was in high school, I worked at a local Pizza Hut and was a closing server. So after closing down the salad bar and mopping, I got out of there pretty late. I had this ritual of texting my dad when I was almost done to let him know I was almost home, but mostly it was to test and see if him and my mom were awake or not. If they weren't, I would take the long way home on the old country roads. I lived on a dog breeding farm 20 minutes outside of town, and I would smoke a joint or two and jam out.
A dog breeding farm?
Yeah.
A farm of dogs.
I guess, yeah. So he's like, I'll take the long way home and I'll smoke a joint if my dad doesn't answer me.
Fair enough.
Yeah. One particular night, I decided to do this. I was riding along a back road about 3 or 4 minutes from my house. This is a road I know very well. My bus took this road my whole childhood. One thing to note about my area is I live in the deep woods of East Texas, so most people who own property put their houses about a quarter to half a mile back on their property and keep their exposed woods as basically a natural fence and defense. So while you can see a lot of driveways and mailboxes, you can see almost no houses, just woods with chunks taken out. As I'm driving, I come upon a toolbox, like the ones that sit up in the back of work trucks, smack dab in the middle of the tiny dirt road. I pull up to it and stop and open my door, stepping out, but not away from my car. As I take in my obstacle, I realize my headlights are not the only light in the road. There are headlights, small ones, coming up a driveway that was parallel with the toolbox. I sit back down in my car and close my door till only a crack is open, so that in a moment's notice I can close it, go off into the grass, and get the F out of there. A small riding wheel lawnmower comes out from the trees, and riding it is a man in a full clown suit and mask with a shotgun laid across his lap. He turns and looks directly through my windscreen and into my eyes and brings the shotgun up out of his lap. Now, I am a country boy, through and through. I can smell when I'm somewhere I'm not wanted, so before he even got the butt off of that thing to his shoulder, my car was in drive and in the side ditch of the road. I got out of there, threw my joint out, went home, crawled in bed, and never spoke about it again. I don't know what that guy was doing, seeing as this was probably 2018 or 19, so after the killer clown craze. Whether it was a dumb kid or some crazy backwoods man, Mr. Clown, let's not meet again, please.
Jesus Christ, a full clown costume with a shotgun.
With a mask, just riding a lawnmower.
And he looks right at you.
Yeah, and starts to point the shotgun at you. And also, what's the toolbox doing in the middle of the road? I have so many questions.
Get him to stop. Had to be, right?
Oh, God. He's actively trying to get someone to stop so he can shoot them.
I don't know. Maybe he just wants to scare him. It didn't sound like he actually pulled off a shot.
Well, no, the guy was picking up the shotgun that was across his lap and putting it up to shoot at him, but the kid sped away before he could do that.
You don't think if he really wanted to shoot him, he would try?
I guess he could, maybe, but I don't know.
We'll never know, but it does kind of sound like maybe he was just trying to scare somebody. I mean, why else would you dress up in a fucking clown suit?
Do you remember that?
If he really wanted to kill somebody, why wouldn't you just, like, hide in the woods?
Because people love the spectacle. They love the, like, fear of it all. They want to be the killer in a scary movie.
I guess. People are fucking crazy.
Why would you be in the woods in the middle of the night naked, crouched over, and throwing things into the water to make the person scared?
I don't know.
It's to get a reaction.
Mentally ill? I don't know.
It's mental illness, isn't it?
Your guess
That's what
is
it all chalks
mine.
Up to, I guess. God, people are so scary.
Well, when you're on this subreddit, yeah, they are.
Yeah, no, for sure. Do you remember the clown?
Yeah, dude, I remember. Craze? I remember seeing it, and it was just like a fad where people would dress up as clowns and try and scare people. And then I'm pretty sure a few of them got shot.
Yeah.
And then they were like, yeah, maybe we shouldn't do this.
Well, they were clowns, like, dressing up as clowns. As clowns.
Yeah.
And then walking down, like, residential streets or just down a random city street with, like, machetes or, like, other weapons or bats.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, like, yeah, a lot of people were just trying to scare people, and it was just because they wanted to get a video taken of them and whatever. But, like, some people were active, crazy people who wanted to hurt people, mm-hmm. you know? But, yeah, I do actively remember when we were in college. It was, like, I think our sophomore year. It was our sophomore year when all this clown stuff was happening. And there was a video of a clown, I think holding a bat or something, like some kind of weapon, walking down the street where, like, all of my classmates lived. And people, I had people send me a video, like, personal, like, people I had in my phone texted me a video of a clown walking past their apartment.
Dude.
It was literally, like, everywhere.
No. Yeah, no thank you.
Terrifying. But they said that this was after the clown thing. I think they said 2018, 2019, which was, like, not that year, you know?
Well, maybe they caught onto the fad a little too late.
Yeah, maybe they were just
a Chugy clown.
Chugy already Dude. Sounds like a clown name.
Right. Chugy the clown.
Chugy the clown.
I mean, you know, it's just the boomers catch on later. Maybe it was a boomer. They were on a lawnmower.
Right.
You know, boomers love to mow their lawn.
Boomers love lawnmowers.
They do.
Okay. We've gotten off the rails here. All right, on to the next. This next story was posted 2 months ago by the user named CC8873. Back when I lived in the rural Midwest about 10 years ago, I lived in a house right off the highway. My house was right between one town and another, almost right on the county line. Our house had a big circle driveway. If you drove in the driveway, you would be going straight towards our barn. If you curved to the right, you could pull into our garage. If you went past the garage, you could circle around in front of the house and pull back out where you started. Our house had two large double doors in the front, which we rarely used. We always used the door that was inside the garage. One night, it was very late, my doorbell rang. My husband, my 3-year-old daughter, and I were all asleep. It woke me up, and I thought maybe I was dreaming. It rang again. I woke my husband up. He thought I was hearing things until it rang again. It was very dark outside, but we have a dusk to dawn light, so most of the driveway is pretty lit up. Unfortunately, you can't really see the front doors unless you open the door and look out. You can open just one at a time, or you can open them both by using two latch-like things that are in the top and the bottom of one of the doors. My husband gets up and I follow him. He decides he is going to open the door. I want to call the cops, but because we live on the county line, we know it's going to be a while before they can get there. He opens the door to a girl, maybe early 20s. She looks normal, except for the fact that she's standing at my door in the middle of the night. I look past her, and her car is pulled into my driveway just off the road, not up to the house, not around the circle. She says she needs to use the phone. She says her car battery died, or something. She's not sure, but she can't get it to start. I told my husband, no fucking way. This is how horror movies start, and we offered to call the cops, which would be the county sheriff. She asked over and over, but I am not letting her in. We tell her we will call, and she kind of stomps off. We watch her walk back to the car, maybe 50 feet away. I'm a bad judge of distance. I can see her car, I can see her. I call the cops. They say they will be there as soon as they can, about 15 minutes. They don't sound very concerned at all at this point, and I'm not really either. I mean, it's just a girl. She probably does have a dead battery. She opens the trunk. No lights come on. She rummages around in the trunk, and the driver's side door opens. Out steps a guy. Then the back passenger door opens. Out steps one more guy. No lights on. I can't hear anything. I can't hear them talking, and I can't tell what they are doing. They all get back in the car. Now at this point, maybe 5 minutes have gone by, and I am silently praying that the sheriff puts his foot on the gas and gets here quick, but I know it's going to be another 10 minutes or so. I know they didn't get out of the car and walk past the house because they would have to walk right under the dusk to dawn light. I would have seen them. I think I see the driver light a smoke. That part I'm not sure about. Then I see something, someone, walking toward the car from the right, coming from the direction of the barn. It's a man. I have no idea who this man is. We don't have a neighbor for at least a mile, and he's coming from the back of my property, which ends in a creek. He walks under the dusk to dawn light straight to the car. He doesn't look at the house. He just walks to the car and gets in the back. The car starts up and they slowly back out of my driveway and head north. So 4 men and this woman. And one of them came out of nowhere and just got in the car.
From the back of their property.
Yep. The cop arrives about 10 minutes later, and at this point I am freaking out. They search around but can't find anything. Ask us if we have a license plate number, but they were parked too far away. They tell us to call if they come back. Sure, thanks, buddy. My husband goes and gets his shotgun from the shop, which is on our property, and we try to go back to sleep. They never came back. I don't know who those people were, and I don't know what they wanted. Creepy people in a car without a dead battery, let's never, ever meet again.
Yeah.
That is terrifying.
Yeah, I mean, these all seem like different ploys to entrap somebody.
Yes, yeah.
In some way.
I didn't mean to have a theme, but we've got a theme.
Yeah, the other thing is you have no idea how bad their intentions were. You don't know if they were trying to murder you or rob you or kidnap you. Have you ever, no idea.
Have you ever seen the movie The Strangers?
No.
It is a terrifying movie. It's basically like, I don't remember exactly what it is, if the people are renting a house or if they're just like in a house that's not theirs. I don't know. But these, you know, strangers, quote unquote, come up to the house and they're like wearing masks and they get into the house and they literally just like torture these people, and like they're not there to like just rob them, like they're there to murder them badly. So this is kind of giving me Strangers vibes a little bit.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Wait, so how did they get in?
In the movie?
Yeah.
I don't know, an open window or something.
Oh, the mask thing is terrifying.
The masks in those movies are terrifying, or in that movie.
Yeah.
Really scary. Anyway, no, but the fact that it's just the girl who comes up.
Yeah.
She's like, my car battery's dead. Then she goes out. Then 3 men get out of the car. That's already a huge red flag. Crazy terrifying.
Like ants.
Yeah. And then they sit in the car for like 5 minutes. And then a random man from God only knows where comes from walking on the other side of your property, just past the house, doesn't even look in the house or anything, gets in the car and they drive off with the quote unquote dead battery.
Sure.
I mean, it's so clear that the intentions were not like, hey, can you help me get my battery started again? It was obviously like, we're going to either rob you or kill you, but it's just really scary.
Yeah. You know, my first thought was when she asked for the phone, I mean, what year was this? This was like recent enough that cell phones exist.
Yeah, I think it was posted like 2 months ago.
Yeah, I would be like, okay, I open my phone. I guess maybe I shouldn't do this because then you'd have access to all my like, to like my Venmo.
No, God, but no.
I would be like, my first thought was like, oh, okay. You like slide your phone to the emergency thing and I'll just like throw it to her because my phone's a piece of shit anyway and I need a new one anyway. So it's convenient. Steal it. I don't care.
I guess in your case, sure.
You know what? We'll put a tracker on it. We'll know where they are.
No, but I think that that would be crazy to do, like to give them your phone.
Yeah, that'd be a little wild.
That'd be crazy to do. But honestly, like it's good to hear stories like this a little bit, as terrifying as they are, because as someone who is like incredibly agreeable and like people pleasy, if I didn't know that these were like, you know, things that people did, I would be like, yeah, come inside. Or maybe not come inside, but like I would go outside to them. I would like try to help them because like, yeah. I want to help people. Like, you know,
especially if it's a girl, like
right,
at night,
a young girl in her 20s, like especially if a young girl like came up to me, you know, mm-hmm. and I'm like another like mid 20s girl, I would immediately want to help them. But clearly that's like so not the case all the time. You just have to be like careful. And it sucks. Yeah. I hate that.
You never know. Do you remember that girl that you took home from the bar one time?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember I came to pick you up and it was like late.
That was midnight. A different situation though.
It was a completely different situation, but I do remember being like, yeah, of course. But then in the back of my mind, I was like, I don't know who this person is. I don't know what's going on. I ended up bringing pepper spray.
Yeah. Well, okay. So what happened was I was bartending. This young girl, or, you know, my age girl, comes 22. Into the bar. She was probably mid-20s. I don't know.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. She came into the bar. She was having a terrible night. She was like, you know, kind of crying. Her phone got stolen. She couldn't call an Uber. She was like really just not having a good time. And this man who was like super predatory, who was just like in the bar a lot.
The owner.
I wasn't going to say that, but
we don't have to say where it was.
I won't say what bar it was, so we don't have to know what place it was, so I don't get sued. But yeah, the owner came up to her and was being really, really creepy. And I had seen them do this before, and I, you know, it's just really gross. But this girl was very vulnerable at this point. Like, she had no way to get home. She was crying, you know, whatever. And he's like, you know, holding her on her waist and being like, oh, where do you live, baby? Like, I'll take you home. Like, all these gross, mm-hmm. disgusting things. And so I was about to end my shift, and I didn't know this girl, but like, clearly she needed help. And so I was like, hey, like, my boyfriend's coming to pick me up. You can, you know, drive home with me if you want. And she was so relieved in that moment. Like, I could see how much she needed to hear that. And she's like, yes, please. Oh, my God. And that was a lie on my point. Like, Alex was not coming to pick me up. I had absolutely ridden my bike to work. But I went to the back and I called him and I was like, hey, here's the situation. Can you please come and pick me up and drive this girl home? And he was like, yeah, of course. But yeah, in a situation like that, you don't know who you're taking home or who's getting into your car, but this is a different scenario than like the story I just read.
Oh, absolutely. But I'm just making the point, like, just to be safe, kind of be a little bit on the defensive.
Yeah, no, you totally do. I mean, when you're dealing with a stranger, anything could happen, of course. Yeah. But yeah, it's just so scary that people like know the safety in
what
they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, people aren't dumb.
Yeah, because they know that like a young woman asking for help is going to get help quicker than a random man in the middle of the night, you know, or like a young man coming up to the house with a bike and a Letterman jacket is going to seem a lot more unassuming than like a creepy person pulling up with a car. Like, it's just spooky.
Well, hey, you know.
Well, hey, let's never meet again.
Never meet. I'm going to say it after everyone.
Yeah, that's kind of the vibe. Oh, my God, I'm looking at the comments. Because people like leave comments and the actual user responds to them. And they say, it reminds me of the movie The Strangers. It starts just like that. Creepy AF. And the OP, original poster, said, oh God, I've never seen it. Not sure I want to now. And I just remembered that like that is literally how the movie starts. So I hit the nail on the head. It is like The Strangers. It's so scary. And people were asking like, did you know if they took anything? And she said, nothing was missing that we could ever find. People were like, maybe they were trying to steal things out of the barn. She's like, yeah, well, there was nothing taken from the barn. So it seems like these people were here for nothing good.
Yeah.
Anyway, on to the next.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
The new McCrispy strip is here. Dip approved by ketchup, tangy barbecue, honey mustard, Sprite, McFlurry, Big Mac sauce, double dipped in buffalo and ranch, more ranch, and creamy chili McCrispy strip dip. Now at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Oh, this one's creepy too. All right, this one was posted 6 years ago, and the person who posted it deleted their account, so I don't know their username. I've told this story in other places and on other accounts before, but it bears repeating. One day, when I was an elementary schooler, I think probably third or fourth grade, I was awoken by my mom in a rush. She had overslept, and since she always woke me up in the morning, this meant that I, too, overslept. And now there was just no way I was going to be ready for school early enough to get on the school bus. If I recall correctly, school started at 8 a.m., and my bus pickup time was 7 a.m., but it was already like 6:40 or something, and I was still in my pajamas and hadn't even had breakfast yet. So my mom decided that today we would just tell the bus driver to go on ahead and she would take me to school, which would give me plenty of time to get ready. So I'm sitting there at the dining room table eating breakfast, still in my pajamas, and it's now about 6:50. We hear the bus pull up, about 10 minutes earlier than usual. My mom peeks her head out of the door into the foggy morning and waves the bus on. She closes the door and comes back inside, but the bus doesn't pull away. There's a knock on the door, and my mom opens it to find a man in a bus driver uniform. He explains that he's a substitute driver, because the regular driver called in sick. He says he knows he's a few minutes early since he wanted to get an early start on the route since he didn't know it well. Mom explains to him that she was going to take me to school since we woke up late. He gets visibly upset and says that he can wait a few minutes, since he's already running ahead of schedule. My mom insists that no, I won't be ready to go in a few minutes, and tells him to go on ahead. He seemed angry about this, but turned around and got back in the bus and left. I return to eating my breakfast, and still don't have my school clothes on at this point. But at 7 a.m. sharp, another bus pulls up to my house. Mom thinks this is weird and goes outside to talk to them. She comes back inside looking terrified, but doesn't really say anything about it, and tells me to finish getting ready for school. At the time, I didn't know what happened, but Mom would end up telling me a few years later. When she went to the second bus, she found that it was being driven by my regular bus driver, and it was full of all the other kids that are usually on the route. The other bus was empty, by the way. My mom asks the driver about the substitute driver and about him calling in sick. He said, "I never called in sick. There is no substitute driver on my route." The driver immediately called dispatch in a panic and told my mom to go inside and call the police, which she did without me knowing. There was absolutely no one doing my driver's route that day. Whoever this was most likely a kidnapper who had targeted me. I never heard anything about it again, not even if someone else had ended up being picked up by this mysterious fake bus driver. But chances are, had I gotten on that bus, I would have never made it to school or back home. And if Mom hadn't overslept on that specific day, I would have been on that bus.
Wow. I got chills. I mean, this is terrifying. Dude, how do you be a parent in this world? This is just not the episode
my intention
to listen to as a parent.
My intention with telling these stories was not to scare everyone into not wanting to have kids or have a life. Sorry.
Yeah, or put them on the bus.
Yeah. No, but it's true. That's terrifying.
Yeah, but it's like totally fucking doable. You know, like you could totally buy an old school bus and
put on a uniform,
figure out the route. And
yeah, if you're crazy enough.
Oh my God.
Crazy people have ways, unfortunately. And it seems like Let's Not Meet, if you're scared of people, is maybe not the subreddit for you.
No, and this is not the episode for you.
Yeah, probably not. But it is insanely lucky that they just so happened to sleep in that day.
Yeah. I don't know, but it does seem like within like your group of people, at least one person has a story like this.
What do you mean?
Like, I bet if I asked my parents, like, oh, was there ever any kind of kidnapping attempt or something weird? I bet somebody had something happen.
My mom was almost kidnapped.
Yeah. Wait, really?
Yeah. She was with a friend of hers. She was like also a child, probably elementary or early middle school age. I think probably elementary school. I don't know. But she was walking with her friend, I think from McDonald's. I think they had just gone to McDonald's and they were walking home. And a car pulled up alongside them and literally pulled the like, we have candy in the car. Like, come get in the car. And my mom was like, no. And they just kept walking. And they were like, come in the car. And they were like, no. And they ran in the opposite direction that the car was facing and they hid in a bush. And then the car, like, I don't know if it circled it one more time or like just drove away. But yeah, they acted like my mom and my aunt like actively were tried to be lured into a car.
See, case in point.
I guess
case
you're right.
In point.
But I guess that's why people now are like, hey, everything's scary. You can't same freedoms as we did. As a child, which just sucks. Like, I don't want to be scared for my kids to like be outside. But like the reality of the situation is that there are crazy people out there who do really terrifying things, unfortunately.
Yeah, I don't know about be outside, but like, you know.
Well, I don't mean
you gotta
that
be aware.
As a blanket statement. I don't mean like be outside is terrifying. I just mean like in certain scenarios. Like, I don't think I would let my kids like walk somewhere unattended, like down a road that was secluded. You know what I mean?
Yeah, probably not up until a certain age.
Right, exactly.
But yeah.
Like, there's obviously
it is kind of
reason.
Wild. Yeah, it is kind of wild that people just let their seven-year-old like walk to school.
Well, that was the thing. People just did that. And like in the 70s, people just hitchhiked. Like, that wasn't a scary thing to people then.
Yeah, dude, I don't know. I guess you got to be aware, but not crippled with anxiety about this stuff.
I know. I feel like
you
I'm just
I
like
mean?
Telling you scary stories like, and we're just like, oh. So it really
the sky is falling.
No.
And it's going to fall on your kid.
Oh, God. Yeah, but it wasn't even like this kid was walking to school or something and a car pulled up alongside him. It was like someone dressed up as a bus driver, like bought an old bus or rented a bus and came up to the door and was like, hey, I'm doing the route for the bus driver and I'm just 10 minutes early because I'm new to this route.
Fucking
you know,
scum.
Like if this kid didn't wake up late, he would have been outside and they wouldn't even had to have come up to the door and like ask the mom for permission. It would have just been like, get on the bus, kid. And he was in third grade. Of course he would have gotten the bus.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. A lot of planning.
There's so much planning to all of these.
Don't like it. Move on.
I know. Yeah, I'll move on. This one takes place in your favorite place.
My favorite? Costco?
Yes.
Wait, seriously?
Yes. This was posted 5 years ago by user Myrtle Wilson. I don't remember how old I was, just that I was small enough to fit in the front baby seat of a grocery cart. That would put us in the very late 90s or early 2000s. I was grocery shopping with my mom at Costco. For those who don't know the chain, it's basically a huge warehouse where everything is sold in bulk. Food, clothes, books. It's basically a Walmart, but if Walmart sold cereal boxes in counts of three, or frozen dinners by the dozen. It's a beautiful place.
I mean, you don't have to describe Costco to me.
Yeah, you're well acquainted.
I'm well aware. I go there on a weekly basis.
My mom has a habit of pulling her grocery cart down to one side of an aisle in the store and then walking the length of the shelves, picking what she wants, and then coming back to the cart and dumping what she has in the basket.
Interesting.
I don't get why she does this, but hey, moms do weird things. So I may be 4 or 5, sitting in the front basket playing my Game Boy Color, when she pulls over next to a fruit display in Costco and tells me that she's going to look at the different deals and to sit tight. I wasn't a very fidgety kid, so I said, no problem. She's gone for a couple of minutes. I'm absorbed in my Pokemon, so I don't really notice her walk up until the cart starts moving. Being a kid, I instinctively trust that she's the one pushing the cart. I was wrong. After a moment or two, I catch out of the corner of my vision her red nails. This is a problem because my mom never paints her nails and never, ever wears them long. I look up. The lady pushing the cart is a little older than my mother, same curly black hair, but pulled into a ponytail at the nape of her neck. I still remember she had tanned Italian-type skin with thick red lips, a heavy coat of eyeliner, and brown eyes. She was pretty skinny. Her teeth were yellowed, and she smelled like what I didn't realize until later was bad BO. This wasn't my mom. And I said so, very loudly. She laughed and looked around and pushed the cart a little faster. I said it again, and she looked me dead in my eyes and said, I'm paraphrasing here because I don't remember the exact wording, oh, sweetie, what game are you playing? I am your mom. So the way Costco is set up, at least ours, is that in the produce area, instead of aisles, they're more spread out like islands. It's a large square setup that you can see the entire length of the produce section if you walk in that area. So of course, I can see my actual mother a few displays away. As loud as I could, I remember yelling, Mom! And watching her whip her head around to look at me, right as this lady is trying to cover my mouth with her hand. I don't know if she decided then I wasn't worth it because I was so noisy, or if looking at my mother charging from a few displays over, in parentheses, a side note, my mom is not a petite woman. She's built like a linebacker and played roller derby and softball throughout college, up until I was about 10. She's more of an ox than a human woman. But that's what I appreciate about her. But anyways, this woman squeezed her hand around my little face once and then booked it.
Oh my God. Also, Ox Mom. Shout out Ox Mom.
Thank God for Ox Mom.
Dude, if this was my child, I would have beat the shit out of this woman. Are you kidding? You lay your hands on my kid?
This episode is making you very violent.
Dude, I swear to God, I don't know what it is like when it's not, when it's about your kid. I don't even have a kid.
Yeah.
My hypothetical child.
Right.
Like, I get violent quickly.
Well,
like,
if they're in danger,
like,
yeah.
I mean, when you feel like your kid's in danger, I have to imagine, I don't even have one.
Right.
I have a hypothetical kid.
Oh, yeah.
I'm, like, violent like this.
Yeah, yeah. And Ox Mom was charging up.
Ox Mom meant business.
She should.
Yeah, you're trying to kidnap my kid.
My mom comes running up to me and starts asking me a million questions at once, and my little brain thinks all of a sudden that I'm in trouble for using my outdoor voice because she looks mad, so I start to cry. By the time she calmed me down, the lady was already gone, and reporting her to the head of security did bupkis.
Yeah.
I like that word. The store never found her inside, and the security cam footage showed her leaving, but never with anyone else. Don't know why she picked me, or what it would have been for, but I'm just glad my real mom ended up scaring her away and that nothing became of it. So to the lady who tried to kidnap me from Costco produce section, claiming to be my mother, let's not meet again.
Yeah, that's so scary. It was in the middle of a busy Costco.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking about this when I read this story initially. So many like kidnappings or like trafficking stories happen in places like Costco or like in a really busy place. Yeah, like in a mall. Malls are huge places for like trafficking or concerts or sporting events, like places where there are a lot of people that are not focused on like
anyone in particular.
Yeah,
person.
Anyone in particular. That's where kidnappings happen. So it kind of does make sense.
Yeah. I don't know, but I was thinking that in Costco, you have to go past like the receipt checking people.
You're like, wait a minute. Hang on. You have like, to go past the receipt person in Costco.
It's my favorite place on earth. I know it well. You would have to go by
the checkout.
You know, I would imagine a fairly busy checkout. You don't have anything.
Well,
you're still
if
in
they
the cart.
Let's say they took everything out of the cart and they walked out without having to go by the checkout person. They just walk in the entrance or walk out the entrance because they have nothing
you
in their cart.
You still have to walk by somebody because there's someone at the entrance like checking shit.
Right, but also there are so many people in there and you have to walk by a lot of people.
Yeah.
So I think this woman was just banking on the fact that she could,
the kid would be quiet.
Yeah. The kid would either be too wrapped up in their game and just like think it's their mother. Cause it like kind of resembled her mother, like same curly black hair. Then they just wouldn't notice. Or even if they were crying, they wouldn't like actively be like, this is not my mother. Help.
Yeah. Oh boy.
People are scary.
I know. It's just like now you like lose your kid in the grocery store and just have an immediate panic.
Yeah. Actually, I was reading the comments of this one earlier and someone wrote in the comments that like a similar thing happened in their Costco where a kid got like kidnapped in the Costco and they like got to the employees and they shut down the Costco, like they locked it down and they found the kid in the bathroom with its hair cut and different clothes on.
Dude.
Yeah.
That is terrifying.
Yeah.
So the person got out.
Yeah. So the person like saw that it was, going into lockdown, knew they couldn't get out with the kid. So they'd probably just left the kid in there and they had already cut its hair and changed its clothes and like got out once it reopened.
Oh my God.
That's terrifying.
Oh.
It's a scary world.
I is this the last one?
That's the last one.
Okay. I was like, I've had enough. You just keep piling on.
I'm sorry.
The horrors, all this like scary shit, man. I mean, good thing they locked down the Costco. Good mm-hmm. for Costco.
I know, that's what they said. You know, they're thank God Costco slays.
Well, they didn't slay in the story that you just told.
Well, because they didn't have to, because Oxmom slays.
No, they said they reported her to security and did bub kiss.
Oh, well, they said that they couldn't find her, and they also she didn't leave with anyone, so there was nothing they could really do.
Can you charge somebody with a crime for that? Is that attempted kidnapping?
Probably. If they caught someone and they had proof, probably. I would hope.
Of footage.
But I doubt that would result in anything super bad for them.
Yeah, I don't know. But, you know, hey, I guess I like Costco that much more.
That they were able to lock down the Costco for the second one.
Yeah, I mean, if there's a kid missing, lock the shit down.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I'll get my bananas another time.
Well, you wouldn't be able to leave.
That's actually a great thing for me.
You're like, wait
a
minute.
Can I still shop while in lockdown?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, no, don't.
You can walk around. You don't have to stand still. Don't make me. You're like, no.
Don't make me.
Don't put me in a lockdown Costco. Oh, please.
Is this rotisserie chicken fresh?
Gotta make
I have to make light of something in this sea of anxiety here.
I fear I've traumatized you this episode.
A little bit, you know?
We tell scary stories every single week. What is it about this week that has really gotten to you?
I don't know. I've said the gun thing before, but I mean, it's just like when you know that the cops are X minutes away and you have four men or, you know, whatever threat that could kidnap you, kill you.
Yeah.
Whatever, your family. Like, it just, it makes me...
It gives you a... It
makes me want to, you know, have something to...
Safety.
You know?
Yeah, I do
equalize
understand.
Equalize the situation.
Yeah, there are certain scenarios in which having something like that would be comforting. To know that you are, at the very least, even if you're not actually planning on using it, you have a layer of defense that, you can threaten with. You know?
Yeah.
And that'll give them a bit of pause, at the very least.
Yeah.
So I can understand that.
Yeah, because, you know, where my mind goes is, I'm a dad.
Yeah.
And I have two kids.
Right.
And now there's this, group of men that are going to come and kill my family in front of me.
Yeah,
And now I can't do anything about it.
A horrifying thought.
You know, even if you aren't violent in, normal situations, you're just, a normal person, you could become violent incredibly easily under the right circumstances.
Oh yeah, if the option here is my life or their life and they're trying to kill me, yeah, of course I'm gonna go down fighting. I'm gonna give it everything I've got, because I obviously you have a will to live, and also you have an instinct to protect your family and your children or your loved ones. That's very obvious. That's not, I don't think, controversial at all.
Yeah. So this is my point. It's I feel like most people would say something oh, I'm not capable of murder. I'm like, yeah, you are. It's just
all right, chill.
You know what I mean?
Don't say anything. No, I know. I know what you're saying.
Somebody just has to threaten somebody you love.
No, of course, of course.
You know?
Yeah, but that, I mean, not murder per se, but self-defense.
Yeah.
Right.
But I mean, you know.
You're like, no, I'll murder
you
someone.
You still have to go to court and prove that.
I'm joking. No, I
no, like, I'll do it.
All right. He's joking, everyone.
Yeah.
It's fine. But that was our very first Let's Not Meet. I don't know if we'll ever do it again.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I don't want to meet the Let's Not Meet subreddit again. This was really scary.
I'm sorry. I've given you nightmares.
Now we got a clown guy. We got...
Naked Man.
We have Naked Man. That was so random and terrifying.
I know.
And then we have... two separate groups of four men.
Yeah, I
trying to kidnap somebody or whatever.
I didn't mean for that to happen, but here we are. I think if nothing else, people hear these stories, and if they ever find themselves in a situation similar to this where their gut is like, oh, I don't feel good about this, then they don't engage, you know? They wouldn't let that woman into their house who had a dead car battery. They would call the cops like that couple did. Or if they see a car parked in the middle of the road at night and they're in a secluded area,
it's blocking the whole road,
yeah, then you don't try to get past it and know that you can't. You just turn around and drive the other direction. You just don't mess with things like that. And I think that's cool to know that you can just say nope. You can just nope out of there.
Dude, but I know for
you don't
the
owe people?
For the camper one, I definitely would have been like, oh God, like, is it going to take me another 10 minutes to get home? Like, that thought would cross my mind.
Right. Or, I mean, just knowing who you are as a person, like, you care about people and you like helping people. And if you saw someone slumped over in their front seat and they had potentially gone into a car accident or, like, were having a medical emergency, like, you're the type of person who would want to help them. And, like, that's scary to me, you know?
Yeah, get, like, involved.
Yeah, you are a person who, like, gets involved and, like, tries to actively help people. So, like...
Yeah, dude, I remember one specific instance in college where somebody was skateboarding to class and they... I think they dropped their phone. Like, they dropped something, like, decently important as they were skateboarding.
Oh, and you chased them?
And I chased them down. Were you there for that?
No, you told me about this.
Yeah, but I like, literally watched it happen, and I just watched everyone walk by.
Right.
And I go, nobody else is going to fucking do this. And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, I have to be at class. But, I mean, they're never going to find their phone.
You're, like, annoyed at how kind you are.
Yeah, I'm like...
God, now it's on me.
I'm like, I know I'm the person who's going to do this. So, like, I picked up their phone and sprinted them down because they're on a skate. They were going at a nice clip, you know?
That's very kind.
So, yeah, I might have gotten out of the car. I don't know.
Yeah, I think in that scenario, you very well might have. And that's scary. But hey, hearing stories like this, maybe you wouldn't.
Yeah, no.
You know?
I'd be like, hey, good luck.
Hey,
I'll be the guy who saw the naked man watch the college student go by and be like, good luck.
Good luck, buddy.
Good luck, buddy.
Yeah, literally. Oh, God.
Yeah, I definitely would have drove that kid.
Yeah, I think I would have been like, hey, don't do that. And if you do, let's wait for the cops to arrive and they can take you, you know?
Something.
Anyway. Let's get out of this spooky, scary Reddit Let's Not Meet, and let's talk about something nice. What is your good thing? You like that? That was a good transition?
Great transition.
Thank you. I can go first.
You go first.
Cool. Aside from my lovely sister's wedding, that was so fun, I received a fun Christmas gift that I'm excited about, and I'm currently wearing it. It's a pair of cow slippers.
Oh.
They just bring me so much joy. Who'd have thunk that a silly pair of cow slippers could really, really just do it for me?
Spice it up. They look great.
They're so cute.
What did we name them?
Moosifer.
Moosifer.
Moosifer and, like, Melinda.
It is now. I love Melinda.
Melinda and Moosifer.
Stupid.
See, it's like you could just have so much fun with some cow slippers.
I know.
So that's my good thing. I have them on my feet and they're keeping it warm. Anyway,
fair enough.
What's yours?
Oh, my good thing this week is that throughout our sickness, we've been doing a lot of soups.
Oh,
and
so many soups.
I made this peanut butter ramen that was actually incredibly good. I fucked it up the first time I made it. I think I put in half the broth you were supposed to, so it just was way too strong.
The first time you made that soup, it was not a soup, it was a paste.
Yeah, it was a paste.
And you also put, like, double or triple the amount of, like, turmeric or whatever.
Turmeric.
I hate when... I know it's turmeric. I'm never going to say turmeric. I'm going to say turmeric forever. Anyway, you put turmeric...
It's a tumor.
Turmeric for life. He put that spice in far too much, and it was, like, gritty almost.
Yeah.
Like, it was just... It would stain your teeth yellow. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was not great. We ended up throwing it out. But
yeah, I took one bite and I was like, it's good.
It's like, you tried so hard.
Tasty.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I'm sorry, I can't pretend this is really bad.
Yeah, that's fair. But the point was, I did it well this time.
You did it really well.
And it was actually really, really good.
It was.
And I think it helped our illness in some capacity.
Yeah, like if you brought that to me in a plastic bag in like a Tupperware container and you were like, I got takeout, I'd be like, yep, checks out.
Really? It was that good?
Yeah, I thought it was really good.
Okay. All right. Hey, I mean, I did all right. I did all right this time.
So anyway.
Yeah, that was my good thing.
Good. Anyways, thank you guys so much for listening. If you would like to look at all the pictures we post of all the stories we talk about, check us out on Instagram at NotToday_podcast. If you would like some bonus episodes, check us out on Patreon at patreon.com/NotTodayPodcast. We've got merch at NotTodayPodcast.myshopify.com. If you or anyone you know has a story of survival or something like the Let's Not Meet stories we've been chatting about, send it to notodaypodcast@gmail.com and maybe we'll talk about them on an upcoming listeners episode. We have a TikTok that is not today podcast and a Twitter that is not today podcast, but the T on the end of podcast is a 3.
Because that makes sense.
And just keep breathing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, are you looking for a true crime podcast to binge?
Check out True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everyone's talking about.
We've been one of the top true crime podcasts for almost 9 years.
And we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone is talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.